You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 452 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live on this fine Monday evening into Tuesday morning, and a lot to get to on today's podcast. Later in the show, I will have an interview with the always entertaining Robbie Calland of UpRock Sports and Dime Mag. He and I, of course, have done this podcast many times together, and I hope you guys will enjoy that interview. But before Robbie gets here, plenty of news to catch up on. Actually, sort of a busy day on Monday in advance, about 48 hours or so before the team opens the regular season on Wednesday in New York against the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Just a couple of news items here to hit on. The number one actual news item is that the team picked up the player, the team options on DeAndre Bembry, Torian Prince, and John Collins. Bembry was the only one that was actually in question. We spent quite a bit of time talking about that, including on yesterday's show. Bembry's fourth-year option was picked up by the Hawks officially. That was, by the time that we got there, it was not a huge surprise that Bembry's option would be picked up, but coming into the preseason, it was certainly a legitimate question after he had battled all kinds of injury issues over the first 2 years of his career. The Hawks had until the end of October to pull the trigger on these options, but they went ahead and did it early, which is pretty interesting in some ways. Bembry's option has been picked up. We spent a lot of time on that, so I don't want to go too deep into that now. Also, Torian Prince's fourth-year option, which was an absolute no-brainer, was picked up, and John Collins' third-year option, which was even more of a no-brainer, I'd argue, also picked up. And at this point in time, Collins would have to do something crazy to not have his fourth-year option picked up a year from now. So, without getting too deep into that either, those three things were sort of housekeeping items that took place on Monday, and DeAndre Bembry will be on the team's books for next season, the 2019-20 season, as well as Prince. Those guys will be around until then, barring trade. Other than that, the other news item was that Lloyd Pierce announced the starting five for Wednesday's game on Monday morning at practice. I was not there, but coming from reports from Chris Vivemore of the AJC and Kale Chenard of Hawks.com, Pierce is going with the starting five that I kind of thought that he would, honestly, coming into this, and that's Trae Young, Ket Bazemore, Torian Prince, Vince Carter, and Alex Len. Carter was a surprise, at least nationally. People got a kick out of that, I think. At least those people probably were not paying attention to the Hawks in the preseason. This was the lineup that I was expecting to see the Hawks start on Wednesday, given that John Collins is unavailable and given that Jeremy Lin was not a starter at any point in the preseason. I did think there was at least some doubt about Lin versus Young a couple of weeks ago, but once Young started all five preseason games, it became quite clear that he was going to be the starter on opening night, and now it is official. Carter, I have no problem with this. I would personally probably go with Alex Poitras, which is maybe an interesting decision and a surprising one to some. I think Poitras would be a guy that I would use in that role to play bigger minutes than Carter in this spot. I also have no problem at all with him starting Carter. The other option, other than that, those two guys, would be Amari Spellman, who I think is much better right now at center, given his defensive limitations, and honestly, with the way that the Hawks are shorthanded in the front court, Spellman's probably the backup center at this moment for the opener until Dwayne Dedmon comes back. So I'm good with going with Carter. I don't think he's going to play all that much. I think it's going to be some combination of Carter, of Poitras, and maybe some Spellman and some two big looks there in the regular season opener. But I do think this is a decision that I'm absolutely okay with, and one that I'm not really worried about, honestly. It doesn't really matter that much in the grand scheme. Same thing at point guard. I think Jeremy Lin's going to play a pretty good amount. I think Trae Young's going to play a pretty good amount, and we'll see what happens in terms of the way that the rotation shakes out there. At times, we'll probably see Lin and Young together, as we've talked about a lot on this podcast the last couple of months. So just file that away. The starting five for the regular season opener will be the same as it was at the end of the preseason, and that shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Elsewhere, non-news, but just some stuff, some housekeeping things. 538, who is, of course, a leading statistical projection outlet, they actually put out their preseason NBA numbers and their projected standings on Monday. The Hawks actually were a little bit higher than you might imagine, a 28-54 record for Atlanta that was tied for fifth worst in the league with the Dallas Mavericks, which is very interesting. I'm sure the Mavs will be not very happy with that projection, whereas the Hawks probably are pretty happy with that being a little bit higher than you might imagine. Of course, Atlanta's over-under in Vegas is somewhere in the 23 range. So to see a 28 number is pretty noteworthy in that way. Also, 538 says a 6% chance for the Hawks to make the playoffs. That probably seems a little bit, if high, if anything, but something that probably doesn't seem that much out of the ordinary. There were four teams, as I just said, that were actually behind the Hawks. That is the Chicago Bulls, the Phoenix Suns, the Sacramento Kings, and the New York Knicks in that order, with the Knicks kind of bringing up the rear, and the Knicks and the Kings sort of in their own tier at the very, very bottom of that list, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, which the Hawks will have plenty of focus on throughout the season when it comes to that draft pick, actually came in at seventh worst, just ahead of the Hawks and Mavericks. So on one hand, positive in terms of the national scope for the Hawks there, especially with the numbers being that whole thing. There's no narrative there. 538 is just using their numbers, and that's probably a positive sign that they're a little bit higher on the Hawks than you might think. Whereas it's probably not great that the Cavs are seventh worst and Dallas is fifth worst, just when it comes to the Hawks. Hopefully, if you're a Hawks fan, getting both of those first-round picks to convey, and Dallas is that pick is top five protected, whereas Cleveland's pick is top 10 protected. So in order for that to fall perfectly, we have to be 6-11, and which doesn't seem super likely according to this projection, but obviously there's a long way to go on that. One last thing in terms of just other things around the internet that were percolating. Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post, and we'll talk about that actually later with Robbie Callen and the interview that I recorded previously to me recording this. Both John Collins and Taurean Prince were both in the top 80 according to Bontemps' top 100 list on Monday. That's actually not a huge surprise, but something that's definitely noteworthy. It's the highest combined ranking that the Hawks had. A couple of lists in the same fashion left the Hawks out completely. I think ESPN's list did not have a Hawk in the top 100 at all, whereas others only had one Hawk, whether it be John Collins on one list or Kent Bazemore on the other list. And having two guys in the top 80 is pretty optimistic when compared to other spots. So that's something to just keep in there. Both Prince and Collins got some love. I would still argue that Kent Bazemore is a top 100 player myself, but at the same time, I think Prince and Collins both have a path to get there, to be sure, and we'll see what happens. But that's a nice little nod from a national outlet in terms of Tim and the Washington Post that I'm sure Hawks fans weren't terribly upset to see. Last thing, news-wise, Julia Kate Culpepper of the AJC just produced a couple of notes from Monday as she was at practice, also covering the Hawks. Kent Bazemore missed practice with some illness on Monday. No problem there, though. It seems like he's going to be available. And one of those things that you have to keep an eye on is just, guys who are coming back off of an illness like that. But still, I think, you definitely want Kent Bazemore to be available at full strength when it comes to the opener. So all systems are go there, I think, at this point in time. But he's expected to travel on Tuesday, per that report from the AJC. Also, Dwayne Dedmon had his first practice back, which was widely reported on Monday. And he was at least available. It's one of those things where I don't think he's going to be on track for the Hawks to play him on Wednesday. The team's official injury report is not out just yet. We'll have that hopefully for the Wednesday episode of the podcast. But if nothing else, be following me on Twitter at BT Roland, and also the show on Twitter at Locked On Hawks, and we'll definitely deliver that news to you when it comes. But Dedmon was at least available. It doesn't seem like he's going to be on track to play, probably. And if he does, I'm sure it'll be very, very limited, as he missed the entirety of training camp and the preseason. So I wouldn't expect too much from Dwayne Dedmon there, but at least some positivity that he was able to get back on the floor. Also, Justin Anderson and Daniel Hamilton, who are both still recovering from injuries in themselves. They both missed all of training camp and all of the preseason as well. No contact for either of them at this point in time. And Anderson, it was reported by the AJC that Lloyd Pierce said that he will be reevaluated in, quote, 2 to 3 weeks, end quote. So it looks like Anderson especially is not terribly close. We'll see how that goes with Hamilton. But just something to pass along there in terms of the status updates of those guys. Before we get on to the interview with Robbie, I do want to take everybody take this opportunity to talk to everybody about the entire network itself, the Locked On Podcast Network. I really appreciate everyone that is already listening to the podcast on a regular basis. If you're already a subscriber, I really appreciate you. You can unsubscribe and then resubscribe if you'd like to do that. It probably helps us in the rankings and all that fun stuff. But please check us out on whatever podcast platform that you would like to listen to us to. Also, You can subscribe, subscribe, leave five-star feedback, leave positive comments and reviews. That really helps people that want to listen to the podcast get interested in the show. And also, check out the entire network, whether it be the Locked On Cavs or Locked On Mavs or Warriors or the entire Locked On NBA podcast, as well as the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast. There's someone for everyone in the NBA world, as well as the NFL world and the baseball world and even the college world. There's a show for everything on the Locked On Podcast Network, so I definitely would encourage you guys to check that out, both now and in the future. So thanks for listening to this portion of the podcast. We'll be back here momentarily with the great Robbie Calland. Robbie, welcome back, my friend. What's going on?
Hello. I'm thrilled that the NBA season is about to start. Preseason is finally over. We can finally get to games that matter. Very much looking forward to that. Opening week's always fun, and we have plenty of nonsense with like Jimmy Butler and everything going around in the association. So,
plenty. Yeah, how many Jimmy Butler posts have you written in the last 2 weeks? Give me a number.
I'll conservatively put it at a dozen.
Yeah, that seems right. I mean, it wasn't, and it's not like you're the only one writing them.
Yeah, for the site, it's over 20.
Yeah, but I've only had to do a couple, which I feel lucky because most of the stuff keeps hitting during the day when I'm otherwise engaged. But I've had to do a couple.
Yeah, that day that practice happened was last Wednesday was quite the content day.
And that's what we do, produce content.
That's right.
So you're here to talk about the Hawks.
I am.
You know, for those people listening that may not know this, you no longer live in Atlanta, but it's still the team that you're probably the most familiar with, at least long term. You were there even before I was covering the team, and we have plenty to talk about. I know I feel like I've
None
covered
of those
every
people
angle.
People are still there anyway.
Yeah, I mean everyone's
Except for
gone.
Some of the PR folks.
Yeah, even Literally. When me, I mean, I think you beat me by a couple years in covering the team in person, and even since I got there, everyone is gone now.
They're all gone. I saw Wes Wilcox at Suns camp. Chatted it up with him here in Flagstaff.
Yes, you did.
Just Wes. He's
around.
Just
Wes. If Wes is listening, there's a non-zero chance Wes is listening.
There's a non-zero chance Wes listens. Just to Wes. I don't know if like that was public knowledge, but like he was just out and about, glad handing, saying hey to the people. So yeah, shouts to Wes. But yeah, no, I mean like everybody, it's really kind of incredible the turnover that's happened in Atlanta from literally every level, you know, I mean, the ownership, I was there, I was working for Hawks.com when Kunin came in, which still might be the best hire the Hawks have made in all of this.
I mean, it's definitely Kunin's worked out.
Kunin's
very good at his job.
He's extremely good at his job. But yeah, I mean, like, every coach is gone. That was there either before Bud or during Bud's tenure. Most of those guys left, right? Like Lloyd's brought in mostly his own guys, correct?
Yeah, everybody's gone, actually. I mean, at least Chris Gent was on the staff last year, but that was his first year. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the guys who came in with Bud or even were around early, everyone's gone. Training staff, you know, everyone's changed over since you and I started covering the team, other than, you know, Bob Rathbun. Steve Holman and
Dominique.
Yeah, Bob, Steve, and Dominique are still kicking. But everybody else has been turned over, and some of the PR guys have.
Right.
John Steinberg, who might be listening as well.
Steiny Mo.
But yeah, a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you and I talked about the Hawks on this podcast over the summer, but not like our last time we talked was when we did a bunch of over unders, and there wasn't a ton of Hawks talk. So we'll focus on some Hawks today, big picture stuff mostly. I don't want to drill. I'm not going to ask you about Daniel Hamilton's injury. It's something I'm not going to do on this podcast. But
appreciate that.
I mean, the season starts.
I cannot give you any analysis about Daniel.
I mean, the season starts in 48 hours. I mean, we're recording this about 7:38 on Monday, so you know, 2 weeks. I mean, 2 days. 2 days from now, they'll be playing basketball in New York. So
they will.
I mean, without getting too deep too quick, what are you expecting? I mean, I think we all know kind of the deal, but specifically in your mind, what are you expecting to see both like early in the year and as things go here?
I think, you know, I mean, I expect. I mean, it's the Trae Young show is what I expect, to be honest. Especially these first games with John Collins out.
That's gonna happen.
It's the Trae Young show. He is not gonna be shy. We know this. He is going to, I think, especially game one, going to embrace being in Madison Square Garden. I don't think he's ever played there because I don't think Oklahoma played there. So it's not like he was in one of those programs that played there. So he'll probably enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he wandered there as like in like one of those high school invite tournaments or something.
I think Jordan plays in Barclays. So, but yeah, so like I think he'll be excited to play there. And yeah, I think early and often and for most of the year, I mean, the focus nationally is going to be all about Trae Young. I mean, like, you know, from my perspective now in my position, that's the most interesting thing about the Hawks. I mean, from the local perspective, there's plenty of stuff to talk about. You know, people are going to want to see if Taurean Prince takes that step, because that's a big key is what are some of these guys as part of your foundation? Like, who are their foundational pieces? Who are nice pieces you'd like to have? And who are essentially like they're there, but could easily be moved on from at any time. And so you have guys like that. And I think that's the most interesting thing from a local perspective is it's going to be, you know, Prince, what kind of step, if any, can John Collins take this season? Because he was so good as a rookie. And I think the question anytime, and this is a question I have with Kyle Kuzma in LA, a lot of guys, anybody taken in the back half of the draft, when they come out and they overperform to expectation at a certain level, I always wonder how much more they have to go immediately. You know, you wonder how much more they can improve from what they were last year. If the consensus was they were this and they were X percentage better than the consensus, a lot of times consensus is wrong. I understand that, but just historically, I feel like there tends to be a little bit of a plateauing before we take another leap. And with John Collins, I think there are certain things that he can obviously improve on immediately. There's shooting, which I think can take his offensive game to a different level as he expands his range. But even that can take some time in actual NBA action. It's one thing to do it in practice and to show it in preseason, but to put it on the floor in actual NBA games take some time. And so, you know, where can he go this season? And even if he plateaus, like, that's still really good for the Hawks, and there's still room to grow. And I think Hawks fans need to hopefully we'll be able to temper expectations if that were to happen with him, and realize that, hey, you still got steel with the 19th pick of John Collins is the exact same player he was a year ago. Same with the Lakers and like Kyle Kuzma. Like, if he's the exact same player he was a year ago, that's still really good for where you got him. And then beyond that, like, who else is going to be part of this team going forward? Because like, this is year one of the rebuild, because last year was stripping it down and they were still in the process of doing that. Because really the only guy last year outside of like Prince and Collins you had that maybe people thought was going to be a part of the future was Dennis Schroeder. He's in Oklahoma City now, dealt for a guy that literally they just wanted to pay $20 million to and then not have to pay Dennis Schroeder past this year. Like,
they sent him a jersey though.
They did. They did send Carmelo a jersey. So shout to Hawks legend Carmelo Anthony. but yeah, I mean, last year was kind of year zero of the rebuild, just the strip down. You know, people point to it as the first year, but it's kind of, you know, that was the hard crash down. And now you start trying to layer those pieces on top of each other. And it'll be interesting. Bembry got his option picked up. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he can stay healthy and show something this season, because, you know, obviously it's been tough for him to do that because he's not been on the floor enough. But yeah, I think everything is focused on the young guys. You know, I'm not particularly, you know, it's nice to have guys like Kent Bazemore and Jeremy Lin around just because they're good veterans to have in a locker room. But how they play and perform doesn't intrigue me really in the slightest, simply because I highly doubt they're going to be around when the Hawks are trying to be relevant again in the conversation in the East.
Yeah, I do think it's important every once in a while to take a step back and kind of do what we're doing here. And I know you kind of have both perspectives, having covered the Hawks close up and now doing it much more big picture in your role. But, you know, really the most important things for this season are how do the three core guys play, and that's Young, Prince, and Collins. Yep. And then who else, if anybody, on this roster will be part of that core moving forward. Obviously, the candidates are, you know, you have Kevin Huerter and Amari Spellman, yep, who were both first-round picks. I didn't love the Amari Spellman pick. That's well-documented, and that's why Robbie's laughing, I think. But it's one of those things, yes, where you have to see what you have in those guys.
Sure.
But outside of that, maybe Bembry, but other than, right, I mean, maybe Alex Len, who I kind of like and is still pretty young.
That's a sneaky, nice little signing.
Yeah, I like that move, but
low,
I mean,
low risk, kind of not super high ceiling, but low risk, higher ceiling than the risk.
Yeah, and he's still pretty young, and I'm not sure he's gonna, you know, long term, if you're trying to build a contender, I don't think Alex Len's gonna be a starting center on a contender, but maybe he can be your backup center, and that is, sure, a quality piece. So, I mean, there are 5, 6, 7 guys on this team that matter long term. Maybe. I mean, there's definitely 3, and then after that, you know, we'll see with Huerter and Spellman and Bembry, and I guess Tyler Dorsey is still young, but not a guy who I really particularly think is going to be around long term. Right. And then you have Len, and you know, there are other guys, but you know, I'm kind of with you. I obviously will care much more than most about the veterans who are still around, both for trade value purposes and, you know, the impact that they have on the rest of the team. I think that surrounding Trae Young with guys who know how to play and can shoot, like Kent Bazemore, like Dwayne Dedmon, like, you know, I guess even Vince Carter to a much lower level, like, will help Trae Young's development. Like, that's kind of all that matters, though, nationally, is those guys that we're talking about in terms of just how do they look and how does Lloyd Pierce do. Like, those are kind of the things that really actually matter outside of the diehards who follow this up every day.
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand that diehards are going to be interested in, you know, guys deeper down the roster. But, I mean, really at this point, if you are a Hawks fan like that, those guys should be your focus, because those are guys you should put the most – kind of emotional investment into, because this is year one of a rebuild. And if you take a look at really any other team that's gone through something the Hawks are going through, which is a complete teardown and restart, those auxiliary pieces change on a yearly basis. So I wouldn't get too invested in how Tyler Dorsey's doing. You know, like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, like, yeah, he's a guy, but you're going to see kind of a cavalcade of 1-2 year deals coming through over the next few years. And, you know, the Vince Carters will make a pop in to get a veteran minimum and to live in Atlanta for a year. And like, you're going to have those, but there's going to be a ton of turnover over the next 2 or 3 years. And what your hope is that they have 5 guys that can stay. Like, if they have 5 guys off this roster that are still on the team in 3 years, like, I think that would be pretty good. I think that would be pretty like useful guys.
It would be.
That would be great. Like, if you get Huerter, your big three, and Bembry can show something, like, that's pretty good. Like, I don't think either of us are super high on the prospects of Amari Spellman lasting super long in Atlanta.
He does have, I mean, I will say, for I was going to say, there's a path for Amari Spellman to be a thing. I don't think it's super likely, but it does exist. So there are ways to monitor him as well. And I know a lot of the fan base, probably most of the fan base, is a lot higher on him than I am, which is fine, because he's fun to root for. He's a guy with a high motor who tries really hard and has a fun personality, and I get all that. So there you go.
Sure. But the defensive woes are very much there.
They're real.
They're real. So, yeah, I mean, like, if you have 5 guys out of this that are on your team and at the start of the 2021-22 season, and you feel are like actual rotation guys on that team, you'd feel pretty good. And hopefully they've added auxiliary talent both through free agency and the draft over the coming years. And by that time, they're ready to be back in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to wrap this thing by, the last thing I'm going to do is ask you about Trae Young, but before we get to that,
sure.
Our good friend and mine, good friend of yours and mine, Tim Bonteps, released his Washington Post Top 100 today. Shouts to Tim, who's been a guest on this podcast and is a literal friend of you and I. He has both Prince and Collins as top 80 players, and I thought that was a pleasant surprise. Most people have not had the Hawks having more than one person, and if they even get one, on these top 100 lists, and Tim seems to be a little bit higher on those guys. I guess my question to you would be, who do you think is a better prospect moving forward between Prince and Collins, knowing that they're very different because Collins is much younger, but Prince plays the position that everyone wants at the three and probably had a better season last year, all things considered, if you don't care about defense, maybe. But all those things, like, they're very different prospects, but they're also kind of similar in overall standing among most people. So kind of where do you lean out of those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like, I've been you know, criticized by some Hawks fans as not being high enough on either guy simply because I think they both exist in a very similar plane of existence within what their NBA role can be, which is a fringe starter on a pretty good basketball team. Like, I think they can, either one could be your fifth or sixth best player on a good basketball team. Maybe fourth or fifth. Like, and so, like, in that, like, I do think they're really close. Now, as far as who I think John Collins' physical gifts. Now, it's not like Prince is not a, you know, a good athlete or anything, but I think Collins' physical gifts make him maybe a little bit of a better prospect as far as, like, what his absolute top ceiling could be. And that's if everything clicks. Like, if he becomes a better shooter and he figures out how to be a under control type rim protector type guy because of his bounce, maybe slightly higher than Prince. But Prince has a lot of the same kind of questions. Like, can he be a committed defender and also give you that offensive output that he gave you last year, where he emerged as a 38% three-point shooter and kind of showed that range and showed that he can take that step that we've seen that from a lot of Hawks wings over the years. And if there's one hallmark of the Bud era, it's that he got kind of the most out of pretty much every wing that walked through that door. At least, you know, in kind of opening up their offensive skill sets. And so the question for Prince is, and this is a question that I think you kind of have to ask for everybody on the Hawks team, and it's kind of an unanswerable one because last year is so hard to evaluate defensively because they were bad. They kind of knew they were bad.
The point of attack guy was really bad all season long, which makes it hard for everybody else.
There was no one to set a tone defensively because Dennis wasn't doing it. You know, Bayes is an effort guy, but, like, his, you know, where he is as a defender, I think sometimes gets a little overvalued because of his effort, because he is still a smaller guy. And physically there are limitations to what he can do on that end. He maximizes what he can do there because of how hard he tries. But just generally, like, no one on the team played good defense because there wasn't really a tone setter on that side, either as an interior presence or at the point of attack where Dennis was. It's probably not going to happen this year either. So it's kind of going to be hard again to evaluate these guys on that end. But you would hope that this season, you know, there can be a message of, guys, let's put in a little more effort there, because you're not going to get that tenacious lockdown defense from Trae Young. It's just not going to happen. I know people have been, you know, pleasantly surprised with how his effort level on that end, because that was a question coming out of Oklahoma. I know in the preseason he's put forth more effort than maybe we anticipated him doing, and that's great. Like, yes, that's fantastic if he does that and can stay committed to that all season. However, even Trae Young trying is a net negative on defense, just not a massive negative on defense. He's still a below average defender even when he's giving effort, simply because his size and stature. So what can they do defensively? But yeah, I mean, you know, both to get back to the original point, Collins and Prince are both very close in my eyes as far as where their ceilings are and where their floors are. It really comes down to which one can continue to open up kind of the offensive toolbox and which one can kind of have it click defensively. I think Prince has a better background defensively as far as like a prospect, like coming out of Baylor, people thought he was a pretty good defender. But I think Collins has the physical tools to unlock a little bit more. So I'd maybe put Collins just ahead of Prince as far as a prospect. But I think they're very close, and both of them are that fringe starter on a good team. And that's perfectly fine, especially for where both of them were drafted.
Yeah, and I think just one more thing on the defensive front. Weirdly, and this is going to sound funny even as it comes out of my mouth, weirdly, I think the presence of a new head coach, even though I'm pretty confident, and especially year one, that going from Bud to Pierce is probably going to be a downgrade, just because we don't know what Pierce is. He might be great. I mean, that's on the table. I like that hire. I like him and my interactions with him. I like everything I've seen so far. He's still a rookie head coach, and Bud is at worst average. I think he's better than that. But having that new voice, have that new energy, and having guys, it's all new. And I think that can kind of inspire your effort, at least for a while. Maybe not for 82 games, sure. But early on, that can kind of help.
You also have to wonder if guys recognize Bud had a foot out the door.
Maybe, and then that's something that we'll never fully know. But yeah, I think that's a good point.
I mean, we talked about it last summer league. As soon as Schlenk got hired, there was talk. We talked with a number of, you know, big time NBA reporter folks, and the general consensus was like, Bud's gone. And
I mean, it was a situation.
The chatter was around, and like that can affect the locker room and how much a locker room really is going to give to that dude, especially because defense is such a commitment thing. And if you don't necessarily feel the coach's commitment to the cause, then that's the thing that wanes the hardest. But you know, who knows how much of that was a factor. So that's something to monitor, because like you said, I do think this will be a step back as far as strategy and a tactician for now. Like you said, like Lloyd Pierce might be fantastic. But that's the thing that Bud was absolutely the best at. Like his best attribute was he was very good at game planning. And drawing up offensive plays and all these sorts of things. And that's the thing why people are so excited about Milwaukee this year, because they haven't had a strategist since they hired Jason Kidd, because that's not what Jason Kidd did. No. But it will be interesting. I do think we could see a little bit more of an effort, because like you said, a new voice, this seems like it will be the coach for the foreseeable future. So guys might be like, hey, like let's show this guy what we can do. And that's your hope. If you're
awesome. Yeah, absolutely. So I want to always put that out there. I kind of agree with you. It's weird. I think in a vacuum, if you're comparing Collins and Prince as prospects, just in a vacuum, I think I like Collins more as a prospect than Prince. But there's also this like tax on Collins in that he's that kind of tweener big man. I know the Hawks want to play him more at the four this year. I still think long term he might be better at the five. And Prince, there's just that emphasis on wings, and that kind of leans you back towards Prince because he has legitimate size to play the three, and maybe even some small ball four. So as sort of a tiebreaker, you want to lean that way because that player is just more valuable in today's NBA. So it's kind of a tough call, and one that I'm going to ask, I think, everybody that I have on, especially people that are not covering the Hawks, just to see kind of what they think as the season moves along, because it's a very interesting question and one that probably does not have a real answer as of now. But before we get to Trae Young, I have to do something that we have all been waiting for, and that I have to talk about my bookie and the good folks over there. So from the moment I started writing about sports, and even before that, talking about the Hawks on the podcast, all that fun stuff, people were asking me for advice, and usually it's what team to bet on this week. And the truth is, I don't know who's going to win a lot of the time, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie for all your handicapping needs. And remember, whoever you're betting on, it's just as important to know who you're betting with and to have that sort of be at the forefront of your mind. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie, because trust me, they are the best bet you can make this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. And MyBookie also has in-game live betting to go along with their player perks that are the best in the business. So you can join the action now with a deposit bonus that will see your money matched dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code Locked On to activate this offer on MyBookie. Have your first deposit matched 100% up to $1,000. That's one more time. Promo code Locked On. You play, you win, and you get paid. So, Robbie, you and
winners.
I both do picks
winners
in football a lot, and we want winners all the time. And if people want to have winners, MyBookie is the place.
Sure.
Get your takes off in the form of financial commitment. Go ahead and do that. You and I could probably do another one. And by the way, if you missed it, we did a lot of over under talk early in the summer. It was a 2-part extravaganza, like 3 hours worth of podcasts. And I think you did a handicapping podcast recently that will be up shortly that you might want to plug later. Lots of content from us over at Dime and all that fun stuff as well. I think you and I are basically the designated people that write about odds and things like that. So
that's correct.
There you go.
We are the only two people that know how those things work.
Yes, that's probably the best way to put that. And so anytime something happens, you know, trade-wise, immediately we were talking about, you know, odds for Jimmy Butler posts and all that fun stuff. So a lot of that coming in the very near future. Okay, one more topic. I have to ask you about Trae Young. You sort of garnered a reputation early on in the process for really not liking Trae Young very much as a prospect. And people, I will say, the Trae Young hype train is in full swing in Atlanta.
Oh, buddy, I know.
It's out there. I know. I know you see it. I will say before I even ask you what you think, I am higher on Young now than I was. I still don't. But let me put the caveat out there. I still don't like the trade. I said that at the time. I can say that without while also saying that I understand what they wanted to do, and I will defend the Hawks, and I have defended the Hawks in that. Some of the takes the other way have been really strong.
Shout out to the sports fella.
Yeah, among others. But yeah, I mean, it's all that to say, I'm a little higher on Young. I've been pretty impressed with him so far, with every caveat being summer league, preseason. We don't know yet. So has anything changed in your mind? Because as I mentioned before, you were known for being a little bit lower on Trae Young.
Okay, so I mean, I'm with you. I think he's been a little better in preseason than maybe I thought he would. Again, we didn't know, like, at Oklahoma, there were times where just, like, it was very clear he did not care a lick about defense. And it's been, as mentioned earlier, it's been very nice to see more of a commitment to that end in the preseason, with the caveat that he's still not very good at it. But defense effort can make up for a certain portion of you know, lack of physical traits on that end. And even, like, a lack of natural understanding of what you're doing out there. Just by trying to be in the right place, it's much better than being apathetic and bad. So, offensively, I still have a lot of the same concerns. His passing is impressive. I still worry about whether he is going to – I think he'll be at his best this season when he is looking to pass, not looking to shoot. Because I still have a lot of questions about how he'll get his shot off, especially like off the dribble and stuff like that. And I think he'll be best if he can, you know, move himself off the ball some, create space that way. Because on the ball against a lot of these NBA point guards, I just think he's still going to struggle with efficiency because he's going to take a lot of contested stuff. Look, there's going to be times where he just has to, because he's going to be the playmaker on the floor for this Hawks team. There's not a ton of help. We saw this last year with Dennis. And that's my concern this year, is if he starts forcing stuff. Because he's going to have a pretty long leash, I think. Because they kind of have to give it to him. You know, having Jeremy Lin is a nice calming influence they can bring in if he does kind of get haywire. And I'm actually going to be interested to see if they kind of run a decent amount of like two guard looks with him and Lin. That's a nightmare defensively, but kind of so is everything with this team. but just to give Trae an opportunity to work off the ball more and get some more catch and shoot looks and have another ball handle on the floor. Cause we saw last year, it doesn't work real well when you ask Kent to handle the ball a bunch. It just doesn't. Like that's not his game. Like, he is a spot up guy, a cutter. These sorts of things are what he does best on the offensive side of the ball. And so I'll be interested to see if they kind of want to do that some to kind of get Trey in some more shooting rhythm, because I do think there will be times where he's just going to shoot the ball very poorly. And then the sky will be falling and all this stuff. But if he remains committed to moving the football, moving the basketball.
That was nice, by the way. I like that.
That was real good. Matriculating the football down the field. if he remains committed to just running the stuff, initiating the offense, and finding guys like Collins and Prince and these sort of things, like he still will be a positive on the offensive end. It's just rookie point guards struggle in the NBA. They do. And I think his struggles may look worse, especially the people that Hawks fans are going to get really upset, I think, with the national perception of Trae Young if his shooting struggles. Because I have no doubt that he's going to initiate the offense well, he'll run the offense well, he'll make good passes, and the bus talk's going to happen if he's shooting 34% from three, 33% from three. It's just going to happen.
Especially because – yeah, and because, you know, for better or worse, there are people that you and I know that really do watch every team intently, mm-hmm. but there are also people that do their job at the NBA level nationally that are not going to watch a lot of Hawks basketball this season. So it's going to be a lot of box score watching and maybe highlight watching. And if Young, again, as you mentioned, if Young shoots 35% from the floor for a month, it's not, no one's going to care that he's averaging 8 assists a game and playing well otherwise. You know what I mean?
No. Like, and we saw this with Lonzo on like a exponentially larger scale with the shooting than I think we'll see with Young, but like Lonzo did a lot of things well last year. He you know, was facilitating well. He played very good defense. But all the talk was about shooting because, again, that's what people see, and the Hawks aren't on national TV at all. You know, they're just not going to be. Once.
Home opener, Mavs, Luka.
That's right, Luka versus Trey. So that'll be great if that's a disaster.
Yeah, if Trey could probably play well 75 times this year, and if he's bad in that game, it's never gonna change.
It won't matter. So here's where I'll go, Trey. I think it's going to be a rough season. I don't think that will mean much of anything for how he plays in his career, because rookie point guards just don't play well. For the most part, as rookies, like, it's very hard to be a positive contributor to a good team. Can he be a average contributor to a bad team? Maybe. That'd be good. Like, we'll take that. I think the Spurs game winner gets people excited. I think that's great. He's going to have a couple of those moments too. He's going to have a few games where he is lights out and my mentions will fill up. I have no doubt about it. And great. Bring it on. Bring it to me. Because, again, I don't want Trae Young to be bad. I really promise you I do not. I don't even think he's going to be bad. I think bad's the wrong word. I think he is going to be a solid to good player in the NBA with expectations to be great. And those aren't necessarily his fault. But I think it's going to be very tough for him to live up to the expectations that are being set upon him at this point in time. And this year especially, because – just the rookie point guard thing. Like, I can't get past that. Plus the fact that he has other problems to overcome that for what people know that he does, mainly the shooting. I think it's just going to be a little tough for him in his first year, figuring out when and where to get his shots off. And if the shot selection isn't great, which it's probably not going to be, the numbers aren't going to look great. The efficiency's not going to be great. And he's going to get criticized for it. I do think he will improve as the season goes on. I think he'll learn those things. But the growing pains will be real. And, you know, like, I think that's something that Hawks fans are just going to have to live with. And they will be fighting against it all year, because the national perception, I do think, is going to swing with that Luka game and then with his early shooting stats, no matter how well he finishes the season.
I totally agree, and I'm going to be here all season long to fight back against that if it happens. Yeah. If Trae Young plays well, I will be the person that has seen every game twice and can tell you that he played well. And if he doesn't play well, I'll tell you that too. But either way, because I mean, I think we've already seen it. Like on draft night, I was getting murdered for being too young, too low on Trae Young, and then by late July, I was the one yelling at people about how bad they were and talking about Trae Young too negatively. So it's like,
yeah,
I'll probably be in the middle somewhere.
This is the way it swings. I mean, yeah. Look, I think both of us, sometimes we fail, but both of us, probably me failing more than you, attempt to live in the middle. Like I try not to be too often on the extreme. I try to also bring people to the middle. So, you know, when the Trae Young hype train was careening out of control heading into the draft, as I felt with the Steph Curry stuff, I just want to rein this in a little bit.
It's kind of what I did on Monday with Terry Rozier, and Celtics fans were not very happy with me on Twitter.com. But that's my natural state. If I see something that's getting too far, let's bring it back.
If people are getting too low, and again, I think this year is going to happen. Like, people are going to get too low on Trae. It's going to be time to be like, okay, guys, let's look at everything else he's doing. It's just going to be that roller coaster, and like, Hawks fans are going to ride it too. Like, they're going to ride the Trae Young's great. There's going to be a week where he just looks awful, and they're going to be like, what did we do? And it's not going to stop because Doncic for Young and next year's pick, which never going to get mentioned.
It's the most important thing, and yes, I totally agree. And I promise we'll be done soon, but now the Hawks are getting lumped in with the Kings, and I keep yelling about that. And I talked to Tony Jones, who does a great job in covering the Jazz and other stuff. He tweeted about it, and I had to say, Tony, let's not forget, like, the Kings just picked Marvin Bagley ahead of Luka Doncic with no other recourse. The Hawks didn't do that. The Hawks might have taken Trae Young. And if they had done that, I would have been more mean in my evaluation. But the Hawks got what is probably going to be a top 10 pick in the 2019 draft. And that is a very, very nice asset that we have to keep mentioning because it's a big part of the trade.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what happens. So it's funny, it's the inverse of Fultz Tatum, because like, the Celtics traded back to take Tatum and then Tatum looked great. And this is kind of the inverse, and so you have to kind of be like, hey, let's pump the brakes a little bit. But that talk's going to continue all year. And if Doncic is better than Young, Hawks fans, I'm just mentally prepare for the disrespect. All right? It's going to be coming.
It's going to come, yeah.
And just, you know what? You'll fight the good fight. I know you will. You always do. Don't take it personally. I promise it won't come from me.
And if Trae Young's good, no one's going to care in a year or two. You know what I mean? Like, if Trae Young is as good as he could be, no one's going to have to worry. I promise.
Nassel.
It's going to be fine.
So, yeah. Again, I think Trae Young will be a good NBA player. I do not know if he can reach a superstar level, which was my main point of contention with the analysis I was hearing. That said, he's not going to be like he's not going to be like out of the league in 4 years. Like, that's not happening. So it's all come to the middle a little bit. Enjoy the high points, because there's going to be some. Enjoy those. That's the best part about rooting for a basketball team in the position the Hawks are in. The unbridled joy of your young players performing well, especially if they do it in a random game against a very good team. Like, if Trae Young goes for like 35 against Steph, first off, the take storm would be spectacular. Secondly, it would be amazing. Second, now I really want that to happen, because the comparisons will return. Secondly, like, enjoy those moments, because there will be times where he goes 5 for 18 against the Magic. Luckily, no one will see that game outside of Atlanta and Orlando, so don't worry about it. But it's going to happen. Ride the wave. Enjoy the highs. Don't try not to get too down the lows. It's going to be wild. Rookie point guards do this. Ask literally anybody that's drafted one in the last decade since Chris Paul. Just happens that way.
Yeah, ask Mavs fans. Dennis
Mavs
Smith,
fans. Ask
Lakers
fans.
Kings fans. All those people. And by the way, that was a really, really good point guard draft, and they still
great
had a bunch of guys
draft,
that could. The only guy who is a quote point guard that didn't struggle is Ben Simmons, and he took a year off and is 6'9" as a freak. So, all that to say, we can probably leave it there for now. Robbie, people probably know where to find you, but if they don't, please tell them where they can, because you and I will be very busy starting right now until April, May, June. So, a lot going on.
That's right. At our account on Twitter. Read the stuff. Uprock Sports, dimemag.com, all that good stuff. Dime Pod on Uprocks. We have fun guests every once in a while. We have an East and West preview up with Jared Dubin on the East, Zach Harper on the West, if you're interested in those things. For those of you interested in the wagering business on college football, the Puntcast is rolling along. Tom Fornelli, Chip Patterson, and I talking for like an hour and a half every week like idiots, talking about every game. So if you're into that, there. Otherwise, yeah, should be a fun season. Enjoy the season, Hawks fans. I truly hope that Trae Young is fun. I hope Prince and Collins can show positive steps, because the way kind of everything went down at the end was such a steep, very sheer cliff that the Hawks dropped off of when Horford left and Millsap left and Teague left and everybody was out the door, as we discussed at the beginning of this pod. Enjoy the season. Try to enjoy the high points. Try not to get too down on the low points. Try not to get too frustrated with national conversation about the team. It's going to happen. You're going to be frustrated with it. It's okay. The Hawks aren't leaving Atlanta because Bill Simmons says so. It's okay.
Seattle, here we come. No, I'm kidding.
It's okay. But it should be an interesting season. That first Knicks game is going to be interesting because those two teams are right around the same level. So you'll kind of get out the jump, get an interesting matchup. But I will say this: Trae Young did not handle the Frank Ntilikina experience very well in summer league. I'll be very interested to see how he handles it on opening night, because that'll tell you a lot about where he is immediately against kind of a pretty good NBA guard defender in an NBA setting, not a summer league setting.
Yep, and we'll have plenty more on that, obviously, on Wednesday night's game. But thank you, Robbie, as always, for joining me. As for everybody else, please subscribe to the podcast. We'll be here all season long. So if you're just joining us for the first time today, keep coming back, and we'll see you guys later on in the week.